Warning. The following content may be disturbing to some individuals. Consumer discretion is advised. Knock knock. Who's there? It may be no one. Or no one from this realm. On this episode of Sirens of the Supernatural, join us as the Sirens team opens the door to the phenomena of knocking spirits. Coming up right now.
Well, hey out there. Hey, Ryan. How are you?
Doing good, Rhonda. How are you guys?
Doing good. Listeners, welcome. I know that you see we're missing part of our team. Lindsay is a little under the weather this week, but she'll be back next week to record with us. And we miss her. So hopefully she listens to this episode and can rest and get well and join us next week. So we have an interesting topic. I think it's been a fun topic to kind of research. Don't you, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. It's been interesting. There's a lot of folklore and a lot of stories and things that's been passed down from generation to generation. And find a lot of interesting details about this.
Yeah. Me too. And I was thinking as I was researching, it never occurred to me that there were people out there who'd never heard of a knocking spirit, because as we grew up, we heard about knocking spirits from our grandma, great grandmas. And so it was just something that we kind of always knew about. I never experienced it, but I remember them telling stories about it, about knocking spirits and communicating with those who had passed on. When I started doing research about knocking spirits, I went down a little side trail about the traditions about knocking on wood. You know how when you say something and, oh, I better knock on wood, and you find the nearest thing made out of wood to knock on. Why have you heard that we should do that, Ryan? Because I didn't really know much about it until I did some research.
It could be about luck, things like that, you know, wishing something good to happen or to keep something bad from happening, things like that. It's super, basically superstition.
Yeah. Well, I learned, I did a little deep dive on history.com and some other websites, and it said the ancient pagan cultures, such as the Celts, believed that spirits and gods resided in trees. Knocking on tree trunks may have served to rouse the spirits and call on their protection, but it could have also been a way of showing gratitude for a stroke of good luck. And another theory was that people knocked on wood to chase away evil spirits or prevent them from listening in when they boasted about their own luck, thereby preventing a reversal of their fortune. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then another site said the origin of knock on wood is debated, but its widespread use suggests a powerful underlying belief system that crosses borders and cultures. It's not limited to English-speaking countries, and common use of this expression can be found in virtually every part of the globe, including Europe, Egypt, Latin America, the U.S., and the Middle East. There are versions of knock on wood in no less than a dozen languages. And so I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And I wondered, well, how did we get from that notion that knocking on wood was for luck or to scare away evil spirits to the phenomena of knocking spirits? And so I searched knocking spirits on TikTok. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this, but it was fun. There were tons of video clips that came up when I searched this, and some of them were really creepy too. And I also, you know, of course, I did the TikTok search, I did the Google search. And I found there were tons of stories out there about this phenomena. And there are a lot of people talking about their encounters out there. Knocks with no apparent cause or spirits that communicate with humans by knocking. And I came across this thing about the death knocks. Hearing three knocks on a door, a window, or a wall is common, is a common superstition in some cultures, and it means that death could be imminent for someone in the household, or it can mean the spirits are trying to send you a message. Knocking on wood yourself, you know, is related ritual to protect yourself, but some of the superstitions were saying that hearing three knocks may be a warning from the spirit world of something negative that's going to happen in the future, like 3 days, 3 weeks, or 3 months from when you first heard the knocking. There were just a lot of different things that I found. I'm sure you found a lot of stuff too when you were researching it. And there were some of the TikTok videos where they were talking about hearing, there were some that talked about hearing knocks at their door, going, there's no one at the door. But then there were others that were hearing the knocking from inside their house. This one guy kept hearing like it was, you would have thought someone was standing in his closet just banging at the door. And he had a camera, and he'd go over and he'd throw the door open. Nothing was there. And it was because you could see the door moving from the inside, and he was really scared. But now, I don't know, you know, some of those could be doctored or whatever, but there's gotta be like something to it. Some people think that if you hear banging or knocking sounds from inside your home without a reason, that might be a ghost or a spirit trying to get your attention. And in more religious circles, I found this interesting. Some give the number or the reason for the number of three knocks, meaning that an evil spirit may knock or pound on a wall or surface three times as a sign of disrespect to the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then I thought, well, you know, we've always heard about knocking spirits in the Appalachians. I wonder how that came to be. So in the Appalachians, there's a few stories that helps tie all that together. And one of the stories that was circulating around the Appalachian communities was about an old witch who lived in a rundown house in a wooded hollow, and she could predict the future using a plank of wood, which is so weird. She spent most of her time as a recluse, and it says she hid away in her centuries-old house, but occasionally she would go out for walks, and she would exchange gossip with the neighbors. She was often thought to be mysterious and would sometimes seem to know things before they happened, or things that were seemingly impossible for her to know, but she did her best to warn people anyway. So they kind of started trusting her a little bit, you know, because she could warn them of stuff that was coming. And it was also rumored that the witch could communicate with ghosts, and some claimed to have seen her do this. She would put on a pot of coffee and pull out a wooden plank that was tucked away with her pots and pans, and everyone would gather around the kitchen table. And she would start talking to the spirits and guiding them closer before allowing her guests to ask questions. Now, this is where it's starting to sound more like what we heard about knocking spirits growing up, Ryan. Her only rule was that the questions people asked had to be able to be answered with a yes or no. And the spirits would start responding. And one knock on the wood, if they heard one knock on the wood, that would mean yes. And two knocks would mean no. And it was said that these late night knocking spirit sessions would always come true. And that's what I remember hearing, that it was one knock for yes and two knocks for no. And you had to ask the spirit questions, you know, that they could, you know, answer yes or no to. So like if you were at this witch's house and you're around the table and you just had a loved one that passed away, you might say, you know, is this my mom who just passed away? And, you know, it'd either be yes or no. And if it was no, you'd keep guessing people's names, I guess. Another story that I found to do with the Appalachian Mountains and knocking spirits, what it says that the knocking spirits and sprites are descended from a time when the Appalachian Mountains were still connected to the Scottish Highlands. And folklore traveled with the folklore from Scotland traveled with coal miners who immigrated to America and found welcome and familiar work in the coal mines here. And we have a lot of people in our family who've worked in the coal mines, so this really kind of grabbed my attention. It says the knockers, as they were known overseas, were initially associated with the mines and mining. They were often thought to play pranks on workers, but also warned them of impending collapses or other emergencies. Miners often tossed their last bite of a meal into the mines as a gift to the creatures they believed helped keep them safe in dangerous conditions. So that was kind of really interesting. And Ryan, you said you ran across something similar that you'll share later in a story, kind of similar to that, right?
Yes, it's a background. It's got a little bit of a story. It's got a little bit more detail about what it is, where it originated from, really the reasoning behind why they did what they did. Yeah. You know, because some people call them knocking spirits. Other people call them Tommy knockers, mind ghosts, things like that. Mm-hmm. So it kind of goes back into some of their origins.
Cool. Well, one thing that I found that, and some people probably have heard about the spiritual reawakening or whatever in the early days of America. So from a variety of sources, and I had heard about these sisters before, but there were two sisters who spawned the modern day superstitions around knocking spirits for the most part. And history.com and then SmithsonianMagazine.com also had articles about them. And so in March of 1848, these two young sisters lived in Hydesville, New York, and they came up with what they thought would be a fun prank. Teenager Maggie Fox and her younger sister Kate claimed that there was a spirit communicating with them by making otherworldly raps on the walls and the furniture of the house. And when the mother asked how many children she had had, the spirit appeared to rap or knock out the correct number. One of the neighbors witnessed these sounds, and then word started spreading like wildfire that there was something weird going on at the Fox house. So Maggie and Kate later said they made these noises by cracking their knuckles, their toes, and other joints together to make a knocking sound, a fact that Maggie confessed to the New York World 40 years later in 1888. But by that point, the childhood prank had spun completely out of control, and now the adult sisters had become famous mediums. The Fox sisters and their public seances helped spark the spiritualism craze in the United States and Europe that was built on the belief that it was possible for us to communicate with the dead. Soon after Maggie and Kate's supernatural discoveries, the girls went to live with their older sister, Leah, in Rochester, New York. And we've got a picture of the three Fox sisters on the screen if you're watching us on YouTube. When the supernatural occurrences continued, Leah decided she would turn it into a little bit of money. So in November 1849, at Rochester's Corinthian Hall, Maggie and Kate demonstrated their powers to a paying crowd of nearly 400 people who had come to watch. Newspapers started reporting about the girls, and the sisters were soon holding public demonstrations in New York City. So they were moving on up. Plenty of people denounced them as fakes, and some correctly guessed that they were just cracking their joints, but many others believed that they were witnessing a true spiritual phenomenon. And so soon, a bunch of other people began to open their own shows where they claimed to be mediums who could communicate with the dead, too. Maggie confessed, like I said, in 1888, that her and her sister's communication with the dead had all been a hoax, as well as her public demonstration of how she cracked her joints to make the noises. And that was big news among all these people that were interested in spiritualism. But it's not clear what motivated Maggie to confess that it had all been a hoax. At the New York Academy of Music, she publicly denounced spiritualism. It could have been that she got paid $1,500 for the exclusive story, or it could have been her devotion to her husband who had died and his dying wish being that she abandoned spiritualism forever. So it could have been either reason, or it could have been just she had a guilty conscience. I don't know. So she was angry at her sister Leah and the other leading spiritualists of the day as they kept, you know, promoting this hoax. And so she said, this is her words, "My sister Katie and myself were very young children when this horrible deception began. At night when we went to bed, we used to tie an apple on a string and move the string up and down, causing the apple to bump on the floor. Or we would drop the apple on the floor, making a strange noise every time it would rebound. The sisters graduated from apple dropping to manipulating their knuckles, joints, and toes to make the sounds. And Maggie explained, a great many people, when they hear the rapping, imagine at once that the spirits are there touching them. It's a very common delusion. Some very wealthy people came to see me some years ago when I lived on 42nd Street, and I did some rappings for them. I made the spirit knock on the chair, and one of the ladies cried out, I feel the spirit tapping me on the shoulder. Of course, that was pure imagination. And then Maggie said that I have been mainly instrumental in perpetuating this fraud of spiritualism upon a too confiding public. Many of you already know it is the greatest sorrow of my life. But then, a year later, she recanted that confession and said, oh, she just confessed because her spirit guides had begged her to do it. So anyway, they became very famous. And that's when knocking spirits really gained worldwide fame and spiritualism as part of spiritualism and the spiritualism movement. So today, it's interesting to me that it's still popular, or more popular than ever. Like, all I had to do, I figured I wouldn't find anything on TikTok about knocking spirits. But there's movies, there's TV paranormal shows, all like Ghost Hunters has done episodes about knocking spirits, and books have been written about it. And so it's still a thing. And I'm not sure what I believe now after the research. And so you're thinking, okay, we know this is a hoax, it's a fake, because, you know, these girls did this. But then there's so many stories out there that you just can't explain away. You know, Maggie and Kate weren't there popping their knuckles or their joints, you know, and especially modern day stories. I heard a common thread was that, and this also, when we interviewed Ralph Sarchi and I got his book and I was reading it, he talks about this, like there being a progression. Where first the spirit's trying to get your attention, right? It's going to make noise or, you know, move something or hide something or, you know, and so that there's that common thread that it's, first of all, you know, trying to get your attention, whether it's to warn you about something, whether it's just to scare you, I don't know what. But he talks about that too and how it can progress, you know, if you focus on it, you know, and let it progress and don't put a stop to it. It can progress to the next level and the next level and the next level. So it's kind of interesting. It's interesting stuff. And I wonder too, I wish we had our grandmas that we could ask, you know, ask this stuff too, like where they heard about knocking spirits and what their beliefs about it were. Because I know even though they were godly Christian women, they were also really superstitious, very superstitious. So I don't know. I wish we had them around so that we could ask them, or that I would have known to ask them things like that when they were still with us, because, you know, they did hold to that belief that you could communicate with people after they had died. And I know that in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there is a story about King Saul, I think it was, and he went to a witch and he had her call up one of the prophets so he could ask his advice about something, and she did it. So I don't know. I know you found some stuff, Ron, so I'm going to let you talk and share your findings and your story with us, because I think it's all really interesting. I do.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering how bad a shape you had to be in to make your knuckles or joints crack loud enough for it to be a knock on the wall. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. Did they have a microphone, or were they just, because to make a joint or something pop that loud,
yeah,
would have to be something in the first place. And then it goes to kind of think, okay, did the origination of these mystics, you know, where you drive by these houses and you get your thing read, or, you know, mm-hmm. it tells your future, things like that. I wonder if that kind of originated from around that same time also, or was it already there?
Yeah.
Because it kind of sounds like similar mm-hmm. tactics, right?
Yeah.
It's so crazy that every time we do one of these, it just opens another door and it leads you
more
down
questions.
Another path. You know, these rabbit holes are everywhere.
They are.
Yeah, but I'd run into some things that was interesting, you know, and it kind of goes, you know, we're both from the Appalachians, and, you know, this is actually from the AppalachianHistory.net. It was published, according to what I found, in October 23rd of 2020, and it was posted by Dave Tabler, but the piece was originally written by Eva Smith Carroll, and it was originally ran in the West Virginia Memory Site. And it was reprinted with her permission. Uh-huh. So this is actually on the AppalachianHistory.net website. So they can go on and find this. But mm-hmm. the cool thing about it is it starts with like a children's nursery rhyme about knocking spirits. But they called them Tommy Knockers.
Uh-huh.
So it says, late, late night and the night before, Tommy Knockers knocking at the door. I want to go out, don't know if I can, because I'm so afraid of the Tommyknocker man.
Oh.
It's kind of crazy. And that was a children's rhyme.
Yeah.
Kids used to go around singing this. You know, wow. It's kind of crazy. But according to the Merriam-Webster Tommyknocker, it's a ghost of a man killed in a mine. Other references indicate that the folktale is more complicated than just a mere haunting. You know, and if you look into Wikipedia, it expands on the subject, you know, Tommyknocker, Knacker, Bwaka, Uka, which is Cornus, Tommyknocker, which is called in the U.S. But according to this, it's a mythical creature in Welsh, Cornus and Devon folklore. It's closely related to an Irish leprechaun or a cluricon, Kentish cloakler, and the English and Scottish brownie, which it kind of looks like a leprechaun. Okay. The Cornus described it as a creature with a little person, 2 foot tall, with a big head, long arms, wrinkled face, and white whiskers. Kind of like a cat.
Yeah.
It wears a tiny version of standard miner's garb and commits random mischief, including stealing miners' unattended tools and food. And the name comes from knocking on the mine walls that happens just before cave-ins and the actually creaking of earth timbers and it before they give away. So a lot of that is, like you said, it's about a warning. And it actually describes what people back in the old days thought they looked like.
Huh,
so, you know, you can kind of go into the spiritual aspect. It can be a ghost. It can be something more demonic, or it could mm-hmm. be something more like what this is talking about.
Yeah.
To miners, knockers were malevolent spirits, and knocking was the sound of them hammering at walls and supports to cause cave-ins.
Mm-hmm.
And to others who saw them, they're essentially well-meaning practical jokers, and the knocking was their way of warning the miner that a life-threatening collapse was imminent. So some mm-hmm. people thought of, you know, of warning, and some people thought they was actually doing the knocking to cause the cave-in. Which shows different aspects of that.
Yeah.
And some folklores, according to the Cornish folklore, they were helpful spirits of people who died in previous accidents among the many tin mines in the country. And the warning was to miners of impending danger. And to give thanks for the warnings and future pearls, the miners would cast the last bite of their tasty pastries into the mines for the knockers.
Tasty pastries.
Yeah, so they would throw food to them.
Yeah.
In exchange for them warning them that their mind's mm-hmm. about to fall in. Which is kind of crazy. And like I said, these impish gnome-like men are the Cornish equivalent of the Irish leprechauns. And according to this, English brownies, which I've never really heard of an English brownie other than the type that you eat. But apparently this is a type of leprechaun.
Okay. Huh. I didn't know that.
The Tommyknockers were first heard in the United States when the Cornish miners worked in the western Pennsylvania coal mines in the 1820s. And after researching Tommy Knocker and Tommy Knockers in the West Virginia newspapers, they only found like basically two references. One's a work of fiction that was widely circulated in the early 1900s, that Tommy Knocker's The Miner's Ghost, which was written by Harry Beardsley in Leslie Weekly, the Bluefield Daily Telegraph on Friday, June 18, 1909, and it was actually on page 3. And the other one's a mention of Tommy Knocker's. That was in week of the October 5th edition. In the 1970 column, James Dent said that the week was held because a passagent thought of it, and the Charleston Gazette on Monday, October 12, 1979, on page 12. So these are in several newspapers back in the early 1900s.
Yeah.
And even Tommy Knocker's.
Yeah. That's interesting.
And there's several other mentions of newspapers and things like that, of the Leprechaun, the Court, and things like that in there. And the modern-day miners, no, they don't really hear knockers. There's a theory that the Tommy Knockers may have gone radio silent because of radios. In 1929, radio columnist Gary McNamee shared some reader concerns that radios in the mines might chase the little fellows out. Because sometimes we coal miners think we haven't a friend in the world, but we always know the Tommy Knockers are looking out for us. Many's the life that have been saved by these things with their knocking. And he shared a story about a miner who took exception to the suggestion that there should be radios on every level of a mine so the miners could have music when they work. We would you drive out a few Tommy Knockers we have left, he yells. With all the squealing and blathering coming right through the earth, it's bad enough for them as it is. With these things, radio boxes, with its great din filling the mind, how could we hear them knocking, even if they weren't panicked and driven away? So they got mad that the radios and stuff were in the coal mines because they couldn't hear the Tommy Knockers trying to warn them of something happening.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's kind of crazy.
That shows you the belief they had in it.
Right.
Yeah.
And like I said, it goes through a lot of different things. And, you know, and it's because of the darkness in the mines. And you get down there and you're always going to hear, I've worked in the mines, and you hear creaks and cracks. And you hear a lot of different things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but for them to believe that there's a warning system or that there's something down there malevolent trying to cause a collapse is crazy.
Yeah.
And it's very popular back in the early 1900s. Because there's several newspaper articles or several, you know, shows about it, things like that. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to tie in the Appalachian part of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, of course, that's where we're from.
Right.
And then there's some stories that that I have here that is pretty interesting that I'll go ahead and share that is a little bit different. But like I said, I can go ahead and share that if you guys want to.
Yeah, I'd like to hear them. I'm sure Lindsay, when she's listening, she would love to hear them. She loves a good story. But, you know, before you read that, I was thinking to myself, you know, we've had so many relatives and, like, you know, you've worked in the mines. And it is it's a dangerous job. I think if I were a coal miner, I might be a little bit superstitious too, you know, because mines explode. There's all around the world stories about many people losing their lives. And even back home, when I was 13, there was a mine explosion that killed a lot of men in the community. So I think, yeah, you would tend to be a little bit more superstitious if you worked, you know, in a dark, weird kind of eerie place where you knew that the literal earth could cave in on you at any time. I mean, you know, that would, yeah, I think I'd want all the help I could get too.
Right. Yeah. And I've got a really cool reader story. It was actually copyrighted by Ninja Powered Assassin and edited by yourghoststories.com. And it's a really good story, and I think it really falls into what we're trying to do here. So I'll go ahead and read it from the reader's perspective. And the title of the story is called Knocking at Night, which is kind of cool. I really don't know if the rest of my family believes in ghosts. Years ago, my family and I did have a talk, and we were convinced that something was up in our bedroom. At the time, I was in early elementary school. My sister was either in late elementary school or early middle school. We shared a bunk bed. Randomly, though, my sister decided that she did not want the top bunk, so I ended up with it. One night, I was in bed with the lights off. My sister was supposed to be in the bathroom. Suddenly, I heard a knocking coming from the lower bunk. It sounded like someone was knocking on the wall. I thought my sister had managed to sneak back in the room unnoticed and was trying to frighten me. I decided just to pretend to be asleep and it would stop, but the knocking only increased. After a few minutes, I was pretty annoyed with my sister, and I wanted to catch her in the act. I always kept a flashlight by my pillow. Due to there being bad storms that caused for a large number of power outages recently. So in the off chance that it ever happened, I wanted to have some form of light near me as I was still little and a bit terrified of the dark. So I grabbed it as quietly as I could. I slowly sat up. I got the flashlight ready in my hand and prepared to lean over the bunk bed. My plan was to simultaneously turn on the flashlight as I swung my head over. I figured that by doing this, I'd be able to illuminate my sister, catching her in the act, and maybe even scare her a little bit as revenge. So I leaned over, turned on the flashlight, and said, "Ha! I caught you." I was completely taken aback. There was nothing in my sister's bed. The knocking stopped the second I leaned over. Still leaning over, I shone the flashlight around the general area of the bed, expecting to see my sister, but no one was there. My sister walked in on me shining the flashlight, leaning over the bed. She was pretty confused and clearly didn't believe my story. She gave me a huge lecture about how I shouldn't be trying to scare her and made up story and how I should already be asleep. I was pretty perplexed, but managed to fall asleep. I was woken up in the middle of the night, though, to my sister yelling my name and sobbing. When I asked her what was wrong, she told me that she completely believed me now. Apparently, she had been woken up during the night to have knocking coming from the closet. She thought I was still set on scaring her and snuck into the closet during the night, so she told me to shut up and get back in bed. The knocking only got louder. She told me she got out from under the bottom bunk to open the closet and dragged me out herself. When she saw my outline in the bed, because my sister grew very fast and was around 5'6", 5'7", at this point. If she stood up straight, her head was right by the top bunk. I usually slept right by the edge of the bed and pushed up against the wooden frame, so my sister always saw me out of her peripheral vision when she got out of bed. At this point, my sister started crying, threw herself back into the bed, threw a blanket over her head, and started yelling for me to wake up. She said that the knocking stopped as soon as she started yelling for me. I do recall us randomly hearing knocking while sharing that room. Neither of us were ever awake at the same time, which was odd, and I was, and always have been, very light sleeper. Yet, if my sister heard it, I would sleep through it completely. But it always stopped whenever we turned a light on or tried to wake the other one up. Honestly, can't tell you if it would wake us up at the same time during the night. We were both morning people and woke up well before school started, so we didn't have an alarm clock or a clock in our bedroom. We both told our parents, but they didn't seem to believe us. They kept saying it was probably a tree outside our window, but the sound definitely did not come from the outside. There was also wasn't a tree anywhere near our window. My sister and I never talked about it to our parents again. Since our parents didn't believe us, neither of us said anything to our older brother either. I can't say for sure if anything got moved around in our bedroom, because sometimes things weren't exactly the way we remembered placing them, but we either blamed the other for moving it or assumed we moved it and forgot. I'm not entirely sure if this related to what my sister and I heard, but a year or two after this happened, I remember waking up hearing my brother yelling for my parents. I went into his room and asked him what was wrong, but he just started crying and asked me to get our dad. I did this and went back to bed. I was later told that my brother heard knocking outside his window and voices. Although he could not make out what they said, he said everything stopped as soon as he heard me get up. My parents said he probably heard people outside on the street, but I never fully bought that. It wouldn't explain the knocking. Our rooms are all the way on the second floor, and I didn't hear any voices outside when I woke up. Not to mention, our street is never busy, and we never had people making noise on our street past 11. It seems pretty unlikely anyone would be out there making noise. My brothers refused to talk about the incident since it happened, so I have no idea what he thinks or feels about it. We would eventually renovate our house. I sleep in the same room, but without my sister. The layout of the room has completely changed, though my closet is now where the bunk bed used to be, and I have a whiteboard where the closet used to be. I have heard the knocking since the renovations, though. There's been other things that's happened to that room ever since the renovations. For instance, my whiteboard always ends up crooked. No matter how many times we fix it, if I have any papers on it, they often flap as if my bedroom fan is on, even if it isn't. I also have to check the closet every night before I go to bed now, as I often feel a negative energy coming from the closet. And like I said, this ghost story is copyrighted by the Ninja Pirate Assassin, and it was edited by yourghoststories.com. So if you guys want to go anything, you guys can check that out also. But that's kind of a creepy story. I mean, I don't know how I'd feel if I was on the top bunk. We've all been in situations like this. You're like, oh, they're just trying to scare us. We want to get them back.
Yeah.
You know, and you jump over and you look and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
You know, and we all see the movies where there's something coming from the closet.
Yeah, what is it about the closet?
Yeah. You know, so this is kind of crazy. You know, it's got a little bit of everything. You know, it's got the knocking. It's got, you know, on the walls from the closet to the window. And now they're even hearing voices and things are starting to move. So it kind of goes along with what you're saying. It's progressing into more and more.
Yeah.
It's taken a while because it sounds like it's been a few years, but that's kind of scary. I don't know what I would feel like if I was a young kid experiencing that.
I don't either. I was having to laugh because my brother, we'll have to have him on the show at one point because we shared bunk beds and I was on the top bunk and I used to scare the bejeebies out of him telling him like something's right outside the window and it's going to get you first. But anyway, yeah, I think, the progression and I've heard theories that spirits feed off of our fear, you know, that negative energy we put out there. So yeah, I'm sure for kids that would be really freaky. And you know, kids aren't stupid. They can hear where something's coming from. I mean, you can definitely tell the difference between a knock outside your house and a knock inside your room. But those parents did what every other parent, you know, pretty much does, tries to placate them, telling them, oh, it's just this or it's just that, you know. But kids are smarter than that. I think we don't give them enough credit.
Yeah, she sounds like a smart person because she's like, we're on the second floor.
Yeah.
You know, and there's not even a tree near my window, you know, and it's like after 11 o'clock, there's nobody even outside.
Yeah.
You know, so she's trying to rationalize and reason, and she's like trying to debunk everything her parents are saying.
Yeah.
You know,
they're and trying to debunk her, and she's trying to debunk them. Yeah.
So that sounded kind of crazy.
Well, let's talk a little bit about like our family. And I know that they must have been talking about knocking spirits before you and I were even born, Ryan, because my dad has a hilarious story about how he fooled a bunch of people that were at our mama's house one night, making them think that there was a knocking spirit. When my grandma found out, oh, she was so mad. But it was him. He had a pair of galoshes on, like those rubber boots. And he was knocking his toe up against his big toe up against the rubber boots, the top of the boot. And he said it really sounded loud, especially when everybody like hushed and they're like, do you hear that? Do you hear that? What is that? And then it didn't take him no time to jump to the conclusion that it must be a knocking spirit. So we're going to talk to it. And they sat there and ask it questions and he would knock once for yes and twice for no. And he said he kept a straight face and acted like he was scared. I said, how old were you when this happened? He said, probably 16, around 16. And so he said, you know, they were all in that big living room that they used to have, that big long room, and it was nighttime. It was dark. Someone in the family had just died. I don't know if it was our great grandpa or something, but anyway, they finally asked the spirit if it was such and such that had just died, and he knocked once for yes. And so they're all looking at each other, and he said, he's just looking like he's scared too, looking around the room. And he said, you could not tell where it was coming from, where that knock was coming from. And he said, he finally just lost his composure when he looked beside him, and his cousin Gene Autry was sitting beside him. And he said, the look on Gene Autry's face was just like petrified, just like pure terror. And he said that's what made him start laughing. And then our mamaw said, Wayne, she got so mad. And you never saw mamaw really get mad. So I think that would have been something to witness. But pranksters, they're all pranksters. I mean.
And like I said, that just goes to how serious they took it, because, you know. The generation like mamaw and some of her older relatives, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of that was more common back in that generation, mm-hmm. those yeah. generations. So, you know, when that happens, they take it serious, you know, and then, you know, some of the younger ones and some of the parents, you know, they did use it to try to scare us. And, you know, heaven forbid they find out such and such is out there, they're watching scary movies tonight, you know. So somebody's going to come knocking or scratching on the wall or doing something crazy, because that's just how it was growing up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We love playing jokes on each other. It wasn't too fun when the joke got played on you, but it was fun playing jokes on other people. I'm sure my dad he still gets a kick out of that when he tells that story. That's another story of his I need to write down and get it on paper, you know. But anyway, that does tell you how seriously they took it, because it wasn't no time to where they jumped to that conclusion. Oh my gosh, maybe it's an Aki spirit, you know. And hear Dad tell it. He tells it a lot better, but I don't think we could get him to come on the podcast. I wish we could.
And like you were saying, they would actually go to the extreme. You know, mm-hmm. I remember times where, you know, we would do things, and I do believe it was your dad. He climbed up on top of the house by the chimney and would do like the knocking and stuff. So it wasn't like they didn't take this stuff serious. Or like they would actually climb in the middle of the night up on top of a house.
Oh, yeah.
And do some crazy stuff just to get a kick. You know, they would love scaring people. So, you know, that's kind of how it was growing up. They had no chill. And pretty much all our uncles, you know, my dad's uncles, cousins, they were all like that.
Mm-hmm, they were all like that. And it's no wonder we grew up to have a paranormal podcast. I mean, you know, so, yeah, good times. But that's all I had about knocking spirits. I would love to hear, like, if there's anybody in out there who's listening and their family has stories, or they have stories about weird sounds and knocks and things like that. I would love to hear some of their stories and get their take on it. So we keep asking for listener stories. We'll read them on there if you send them in to sirensofthesupernatural@gmail.com. Or if you have questions, or if you have like ideas of things we can cover on future episodes, we'd love to hear those. And I'll let Ron tell you about our socials, and you can give us some love on our socials too.
Yeah, you can actually follow us on Sirens of the Supernatural on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, you know, most all Spotify, pretty much all your social medias. And on TikTok, we're on Supernatural Sirens. So, like I said, don't forget to check us out on that. Go ahead, subscribe, mm-hmm. follow us, send in comments, send all your likes. Most of all, send us your stories, like Rhonda said, at sirensofthesupernatural@gmail.com. We'd love to hear some of the reader stories. We would like to hear more of what you guys, you know, grew up around, some of the stories that your parents had passed down, or your great grandparents, things like that. Because we like to get the word out. We like to get more people involved. Mm-hmm. And you never know, you know, and you can either do it anonymously if that's what you're worried about, or you can have your name on the air. So this is something where, you know, if you always had something to say, now's a good time. And we don't think you're crazy because, you know, this is a supernatural podcast.
That's right.
And, you know, if you believe in Bigfoot, hey, so do I. So
there you go. And I want to just give a heads up. We've got some great episodes coming up. We're having some other paranormal podcasters come on and we'll interview them. Some really interesting people. We'll have a mortician who's been in the business for 40 years coming up on an episode pretty soon to tell us about some spooky things that he's experienced. And we're going to talk about UFOs and aliens for the first time with some popular authors from California. So we've got a lot of neat stuff coming up this season. So hang in there with us. And we really appreciate everybody that's taking the time out there to listen. We want to thank you. And as always, we want to say, leave you with our catchphrase, stay spooky.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of Sirens of the Supernatural. Please be sure to join us each and every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Sirens of the Supernatural Paranormal Podcast is a production of Monkeyshine Media and copyright 2024 Salt Learning and Technology. Until next time.